where you are on life's journey. May you feel that Jakey welcome this morning, and may it fill you with joy. And now, don't let my welcome be the only one. I invite you to stand and turn to one another, extending heart and hand and sharing the gift of the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Now give it away. Before we get to our time of announcements, a couple of special welcomes this morning. First to Trudy. Thank you for starting our worship in beauty and in grace. It was wonderful. Thank you. A special welcome to all of our guests and visitors. We are glad that you are here, and we are more fully the body of Christ because you are here. I invite any of our guests and visitors to fill out one of the pew cards and leave it behind that we might reach out and thank you for being here. You people are prepared. I love it. So let's go to the announcements about the life of the church.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Patty Strouch, and I just wanted to give a quick correction to something in the announcements here. This coming Sunday, July 12th, at 9:15 a.m., not 8:45 a.m., the personnel committee is inviting anyone who would like to come have a congregation conversation. We had our first one last Sunday after church. It went really well. We had a really good turnout, a great back and forth, and we'd invite anybody who'd like to come next Sunday, July 12th at 9:15 for 30 minutes before service. Nursery will be open early, so if anybody with children wants to come, that will be available. And then we're having our third and final conversation the following Sunday, July 19th at 11:30, right after coffee hour. If you can't make any of these last two, we'd invite you to email, call, speak to any of us in person. We'd really like to speak to everyone if possible. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Joanne Levitt and I am the Deacon Chair. And I want to invite anyone who's interested in learning a little more about this phenomenon called healing touch and energy medicine. I will be doing a short demonstration after coffee hour today in the back, classroom across from the main office. And you're welcome to come even if you're just curious. You're also welcome to come if you'd like to have some actual hands-on healing for a brief time. So please, all are welcome. Thank you.
Since I've got the hat on, I think I should invite you all for the strawberry social next week because I didn't see somebody else up here doing it, but that's not really why I'm here. But wear a hat next week if you like. I have a different project this summer for food security. You know, we don't run open table in the summer, but we are doing a project with Muddy Brook School to help some of the families there During the school year, children receive 5 meals a week at the school, breakfast and lunch. In the summer, there is a program, but they only receive 4 meals a week. It runs Monday through Thursday, and they just get lunch. So we have a project going to provide a little bit of extra food for those families, and anyone who's interested can talk to me afterwards. Thanks.
Irving, I invite you to stay right up here. And I invite all other of the children to please come and join me. We will today meet in front of the communion table. So if you want to sit here in the center aisle and face forward, that would be great. Come on up. Come on up. Can you make room so they can get through? And oh, you can sit right there. That's great. That's great. Good morning. How are all of you? Did any of you get to see fireworks this weekend? A little bit. I will tell you that I was lame and in bed before they started. But where did you see fireworks? In the sky. Well, that's a good place to look for them. Did you go to a particular town? Whose towns did you see? Like Great Barrington? Okay. So you got to stay at home, and you could see them right from there, and you could see the really big ones at the end. Fireworks are beautiful, partly because in the midst of that really dark sky, suddenly there's bright light, right? It lights up the whole sky, and with those really big ones, it almost becomes like it's daytime, right? Do you know in church every week, we light candles and put them here on the communion table? Right? Normally we light those big ones that are over there, but today we lit 3 candles. Why do you think we light candles when we come into worship? Any ideas? Take a wild guess. Do they look pretty or ugly? Pretty. So kind of like those fireworks in the sky, one of the reasons we light them is because they bring beauty to this place, and beauty in worship is never a bad thing. Why else do you think we light them? Did you hear this morning why we lit these 3 particular ones? Yeah. So it does bring more light into the room. Yeah. We also light these candles because they remind us of God's presence. They remind us that God's presence is always with us and always near us, and no matter how bad things get or how difficult things are, we know that God is with us. This morning, in fact, we lit one candle for God, who we know is the Creator, one for Jesus, and one for the Holy Spirit. We lit those 3 candles to remember that God is always near us. Are there more candles on the table? There actually are. You can't see them where you're sitting. I'm going to ask for your help in lighting some more candles this morning. One of the reasons we light candles in a church is also in remembrance. When a loved one dies, or when there's a tragedy in the world, we light candles to remember that God is always near us no matter what. This morning, we're going to light 9 candles. We're going to light 9 candles because something really sad and tragic happened at a church in South Carolina. In that church, a person came in and killed 9 people in the middle of church, in the middle of a Bible study, because that person was filled with hate and for no good reason at all. It was a racist act. It was a horrible thing that none of us can fully understand. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to light a candle in honor of each of the 9 people who died that day in church. We're going to light them so that we remember them and honor them. And we're going to light them right there around the candles for God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to remember that no matter how bad things get, that they are with God and that God will watch over us. Would any of you be willing to help me light those candles? Okay, I hope that all of you will. So I'm going to ask Ron in just a moment to come forward. He is going to read the names. If you could all stand up. Can you all stand up? So we're going to light these little candles here. We'll each take a turn. Ron's going to read the names, and after he reads the name, you're simply going to take the light and light the candle, and I will help you. Let us all enter into a time of prayer as we remember and honor those who have died and remember that God is always with us. Do you want to take this? I'll show you which one to light. Go ahead, Ron.
Let us remember Cynthia Hurd. Let us remember Tywanza Sanders.
Stand up on the steps.
Let us remember Sharonda Singleton.
Hey, Irving, you ready?
Let us remember Myra Thompson. Let us remember Ethel Lance.
Since that one's hard, can you light the back one too?
Let us remember Susie Jackson. Let us remember Daniel Simmons, Sr. Let us remember DePayne Doctor. And let us remember Clementa Pickney.
So as we go through this service today, we remember that we live in a world where bad things do happen. There's no avoiding that. But we also live in a world where God is always with us no matter how bad things get. So as you look at these candles, I want you to remember not only the people who have died, but the fact that God is with us all and even them, even now. Can we hold our hands together so we can say a prayer? God, we give you thanks for your love. And we give you thanks that you are with us no matter what. Amen. You may return to your seats.
Listen now for the good news as recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. And they said, "Where did this man get all this? Where is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here among us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin, and in their own house. and he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out, two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. May these words be a lamp for our feet and a light unto our pathway.
Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. So it had been a full 8 years. It had been 8 long years since John and I had the chance to spend time in my family's tiny rustic cabin buried in the woods of northern Wisconsin. And yet, I have to tell you that within 8 minutes, if not 8 seconds of being there, my heart told me that I was fully and completely home. It began with simply cracking the door to the porch. And there was the smell that came from that cabin. I could not describe it to you, but I know that smell because I have been there before, and it is a smell that says, "Welcome home." And through the front door over in the corner is that barn board table, the source of two great family joys. First, the place where we gather to eat our food. But perhaps of even greater joy, the place when we are on vacation, we gather to play game after game after game long into the night. It is a tiny cabin, but somehow my stepmother figures out to continue adding more photos, more knickknacks, more reminders from all of their journeys. And in the midst of all of those, there are the memories of year after year with the family. John had been there before, but this was Jakey's first time. And so as I brought old family and new family alike, there was no question that the moment we entered that place, we had found sanctuary. We had found home. Oliver Wendell Holmes so aptly describes a home this way. He says, "Where we love is home. Home that our feet may leave, but not our hearts." We don't know how long it had been since Jesus last came home, but he did. We don't know how far Jesus' feet had taken him and where he had been on his journeys since he had last been home. But Mark tells us that Jesus came back home and brought along with him some new members of the family, his disciples. As he walked through the doors to his house, I wonder what smells called out to him. I wonder when he walked into the place that he had slept growing up as a child, what memories were kindled and what came back to him at that point. I wonder how Mary had added new tokens and trinkets around the house and how they blended with things he already knew to create old memories and new ones alike. But Mark makes it clear. Jesus, of his own volition and of his own choosing, we have to assume for a positive reason, Jesus decided to come home and bring his new family with him. Mark never tells us why. But I think Jesus came home for the reasons we all yearn to go home. Because home is that place where we feel safe and good. Home is that place we can bring our whole selves. A central part of this reading today from Mark's gospel is the idea of home. And that all of us yearn to go home. The sage Maya Angelou once mused that the ache of home lives in all of us. Home, she said, is that safe place where we can go as we are and not be questioned. John and I, we got to go home. Jesus, he got to go home. It is a gift and a treasure, and it is something never to be taken for granted. The sad truth is that for so many people, home, at least the kind Oliver Wendell Holmes or Maya Angelou describe, is never ever a guarantee and sometimes not even a reality. For far too many people in our world, the place that children grow up in is never home to them. Rather than love, too often children grow up in places where there is brokenness or addiction. Rather than security, too often people grow up in places where there is abuse or neglect. For too many people, home never was the place they grew up in. And then for some other people, far too sadly is the case that people leave home, their feet take them away to go on those journeys and to find their callings and to live their dreams and to find their love, only to come back and find that home is no longer a welcoming place for them. Who you love or what you do or how you're called to live suddenly is at odds with the people who raised you, and so suddenly home is no longer that safe place to go and not be questioned. It is no longer a place of love, or at least it struggles to feel like that sometimes. Jesus had that experience, right? He went home and he discovered that the house and neighborhood that he grew up in was no longer perfectly home to him. Mark tells us that he came back to his hometown, a changed man, full of authority and teaching. He was different. Did you hear what Ron said? His amazing deeds, those things that Jesus did, both amazed the people and scared the man down the street. His healings both excited his hometown and worried that lady who lived next door. It was a homecoming that left Jesus amazed as well, and not exactly in the way he had hoped. That little town in Galilee was no longer that safe place of love, that place you can be fully who you are and not be questioned. Our story this morning reminds us that home is a gift, something never to be taken for granted. That is why I believe it is so important that we continue to work hard to make this place, to make this church fully a home for everyone and anyone. It is why we set this table and invite it to anyone who wants the Spirit to move in their lives. It is why we throw those doors open and invite anyone to come in. So that you and I and all of us have a place to call home, a place of love where we can be who we are, where we can answer whatever calling God has placed on our life, where we can proclaim who God made us to be without fear or reservation. Truth is, in the last 3 weeks since I was with you, I not only went home to Wisconsin, I went home to a place I've never been before. I went home to Cleveland, Ohio, at our General Synod, a place that was safe and secure and full of love and full of celebration. There, as we talked about the business of the church, as we as a called body made proclamations about peace and justice, we practiced all 3,264 people. We practiced making that huge exhibit hall feel like home. Home did not happen in Cleveland by accident. It was something that was cultivated, nurtured, and sustained. We got up every morning to share breakfast at 6:30 every morning, even though we were doing business until about 10 the night before. We worshiped every single day. We prayed at every single meeting. We reminded everyone of our diversity, differences, community, and commonality. Not to be nice, but to establish the bounds of friendship, fellowship, and compassion. There was no better place to be on the whole planet when suddenly murmurs turned into shouts, when suddenly the news of the Supreme Court ruling on marriage equality came, and it was a place where no matter how you felt about that issue, the entire place erupted in love. It's one of the ways I knew I was at home. But there are some stories I want to share with you about people who I know made it their home, even if they had no other home on earth. There was the young transgender youth from our delegation in Massachusetts who blossomed in the midst of the love and attention our delegate gave him, not to mention the tears his mother cried nonstop about watching her son come so fully to life as who he was. There was the Lakota woman from South Dakota who took to the floor to take on the entire National Football League and the team that is located in Washington, whose name we cannot say, with power, conviction, and tears, telling the whole group she was no Redskin and they did not do that to honor anyone. Then there was that outwardly strong lesbian woman from North Carolina, the one who you would want in your corner in a dark alley. And you may not know this, but the United Church of Christ took the state of North Carolina to court when the state of North Carolina said that houses of worship could not marry the people that they thought they should be able to marry. They denied clergy and churches the right to marry anybody except a man and a woman, and this woman came to the United Church of Christ, and we took the state of North Carolina to court, and the state of North Carolina said, the church is bearing prophetic witness. And she stood there with her wife by her side, a woman she has loved her entire life, some 60 years. And she broke down time after time after time and kept apologizing to us for her emotions. I think it was the biggest and loudest ovation the whole week. And then there was the man with mental health issues of his own and a son who had taken his life through mental issues who got to the floor to call upon churches to welcome people with mental health issues and to do it better and more beautifully and more gracefully. And then there was the bishop. Did you know the United Church of Christ have bishops? We do. This man was 6'5", 350 pounds, and his sermon raised the roof. And while his style might have raised a few eyebrows in a place like this, by the time it was done, he had convicted all of us to the faith and beauty and truth of his word and his thinkings on faith. In Cleveland, we created home. That thing we say every week, no matter who you are and where you are on life's journey, I can tell you, it beautifully came alive in that dreary exhibit hall underground in Cleveland, Ohio. The reading for today is about coming home. And part of our task, part of our job, part of our mission is to always create a place here to which people can come home and be themselves. But the reason for all that is also in our reading today. At the end of it all, they went back out again. At the end of it all, having seen what hospitality felt like for them in Galilee, Jesus sent them out and said, "You rely on better hospitality than this. You allow your faith to find hospitality out there that does better than this did." When we came home from Cleveland, we are now charged with taking all the business we did there seriously, not just to be energized by a week of love and hallelujahs, but to come back and take God's love out to this broken world. When John and I came home from Wisconsin, we came home knowing that we had calls upon our lives to answer here in the Berkshires. Friends, we come home so that we might go out again. In just a little while, all of us are going to leave this home of this amazing church, and go back out again. So I have some advice for you. In the time that remains, hold on to this time preciously. Come to this table to be fed. Sing out loud. Extend your heart and hand to those sitting around you, and find the strength and compassion and wisdom that you need here in this home, that when you go back out to the Berkshires or to wherever you came from today, that you can bring the love of God and the compassion of Christ to everyone you meet. That is our calling as people of faith. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. I invite you now to join in our unison prayer as printed on page 6, a prayer written so beautifully by Maya Angelou. Let us pray together. Father, Mother, God, thank you for your presence during the hard and mean days, for then we have you to lean upon. Thank you for your presence during the bright and sunny days, for then we can share that which we have with those who have less. And thank you for your presence during the holy days, for then we are able to celebrate you and our families and our friends. For those who have no voice, we ask you to speak. For those who feel unworthy, we ask you to pour your love out in waterfalls of tenderness. For those who live in pain, we ask you to bathe them in the river of your healing. For those who are lonely, we ask you to keep them company. For those who are depressed, we ask you to shower upon them the light of hope. Dear Creator, the borderless sea of substance, we ask you to give to all the world that which we need most, peace. Amen. And so, friends, I invite you to come home. I invite you to come home to the best house and home there ever was, this table. I invite you to open your hearts and your hands and your lives and to come forth and gather around this table, even if you have never seen one like it. For this is the table of our home. This is the table of Christ. This is the table where he bids all who are hungry, all who are broken, all who are needy, all who are carrying heavy burdens, no matter what those burdens look like, to come home to this table. In case you have never heard the story of this table, we remember that it was on the night that Jesus gave his life for us, that he gathered his newfound family around him. And as they were seated there, he took the bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He blessed the bread. And then he broke it before them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The story continues that after supper, he took the cup, the fruit of the vine, and he lifted it up before them. And he blessed it, and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. This is my blood that is poured out in forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Friends, before we can come home and partake of this meal, let us bless it. I ask you to raise one or both hands in the ancient sign of Christian blessing, and let us bless this feast that has been prepared for us. Loving God, source of light and life, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the food on this table and for the lives that are commemorated here. Bless this food to the nourishment of our body. And bless this table to the betterment of our souls, that we may ever more faithful your servants be. Be with us, that here in this time and place, we might truly encounter you and be changed forever. Amen. In case you were sitting there in your pew and wondering if you really can come home, in case you're wondering if this pew really could be a home for you, remember this, that on that night so long ago, And among that family gathered around the table was one who was going to betray Jesus. One who was going to deny him not once, but three times. And every single one of them was going to leave Jesus in his deepest and darkest time of need. He knew it, and he broke bread with them. So I promise you, he would break bread here with you and with I. So whether you are baptized or not, fully confessed or not, whether you are ready or not, this table is for you. A couple things about the way we share this meal here. First of all, the bread is gluten-free, and the cup contains unfermented grape juice, so there may be no barriers between you and this meal. We are going to bring this great feast and this home out to you. Our deacons will bring it to you. I ask that you hold on to your bread so that we may eat it together, reminding us that we are indeed one body. And then when they bring the cup to you, you are invited to partake of that cup, remembering that in the end, we are all individual children of God, and before Christ, we shall stand at the end of all time. Friends, this is the meal for the people of God, and that is you. So come, for now all is ready.
Jesus took the bread, daily gift of God.
Joanne, this is the bread of life. Joyce, this is the bread of life. Jim, this is the bread of life. Alan, this is the bread of life. This is the bread of life. Take now and eat. Friends, this is the cup of salvation. Take and drink.
Jesus took the bread, and you're the wine, broken body, life poured out. God gives a sign. Weak, afraid, and lost, that is when we're healed. In our human brokenness, there God is revealed. Jesus gives the bread at our table still, gives the cup to those who seek God's loving will. Let us all rejoice that I freely give, sharing love with all the world, and yes, we live.
This is the cup of salvation. Jim, this is the cup of salvation. Joyce, this is the cup of salvation. Joanne, the cup of salvation. In thanksgiving for this home and this meal, let us sing the words Jesus taught us to pray, singing together.
Our God in heaven, holy is your name. Forgive as we have been forgiven. In the time of trial, lead us into life, for yours is the kingdom and the power.
Whenever we enjoy a meal from this table, here in this church, we remember those who are hungry, So in addition to our sung prayer, we invite you to take part in an active prayer of thanksgiving. Bringing items for the food pantry or for donations, you may come up the center aisle, go to these two tables on each side, and return to your seats by the side aisle. You're invited to pray with your lives. Friends, in gratitude for the bounty in which we live and the grace in which we swim, let us respond with the fruit of our labors. This morning's offering will now be given and received. transforming God, take these expressions of our labor and turn them into hope for the weary, liberation for the oppressed, and power for the dispossessed. And God, take us flawed creatures and manifest in us your love that knows no end, your faith that can do all things, and your service that spares no cost. We pray all these things in the name of the one we follow, and let us all say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship here in this space, our time of making this place our home, is drawing to a close that we might bring home to the rest of the world. Before you go, I invite you to spend some time in our Jonathan Edwards room over food and fellowship where we might get to know each other even better. And now I invite you to sing our final hymn with gusto and with joy. Friends, go forth with this truth, that our amazing God comes into our ordinary lives and sets a holy table among us, filling our plates with the bread of life and our cups with the stuff of salvation. And so, no God, we ask you to send us out with tenderheartedness to touch an ordinary everyday world with the promise of your holiness and to bless each and every one of us with your peace that knows no end. And let the whole church say, Amen.